Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Everyone's like, oh, whoa, whoa, she screamed at the concert. I'm like, look, she's been through it. She can scream all she wants. She fucked Elon Musk. I don't think she did.
You don't think?
No, I think it was like a scientific procedure.
You think both of those babies are test tube babies?
Yeah, or like shot up into her or something. Or they put the egg in her. Is that still a test tube baby?
I mean,
in my head, a test tube baby is literally grown in a tube. I know that's not right.
Okay.
I know that's not right, but in my head, it's like in a lab.
No, sure. But you think she was like implanted.
There's no way. He's like, I got to go play my video games badly. I got to go play Elden Ring and post about it and be wrong. He's like, I found the best build. And everyone was like, this is the worst possible way you can play this game. But yeah, billionaires used to do something. Like make Stanford, which is movies about.
Yes, it is.
It's called a Segway.
Hell yeah.
What has the Segway guy done, huh? What does he spend money on? Not fucking Grimes. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast. I'm Matthew Olenchek, as always, your lovable, confused about the West Coast host with the most, joined, as always, by my beautiful work husband, Harrison Poole. How are you, baby?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good. We brought a fantastic. I'm recovered from my sleepy spell of death of Stalin.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I had a nice vacation in the mountains, which we charge as a business expense. I went up into the Appalachians to get some of that sweet mountain air and recover from being a tired little boy.
Did not know you had access to the card.
Yeah, I had access to the card.
Lovely.
Have a little jingle to know the number. Just like I had for my mother, so I could pay for riot points for League of Legends growing up. That's not true. She bought them for me. She's a great mother. I'm privileged as shit. But yeah, I'm back from my Appalachian adventure, and we actually had like a decent movie this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a movie that I can actually say I 90% like.
Hell yeah, dude.
I still have trauma. From
Don't Think Twice.
Don't Think Twice.
You refuse to learn the title of that movie.
I don't need to. He doesn't have power over me. I'm free, and I'm living my life free of it. You know, that's in the past, and I gotta let it go so I can move on with my healing journey.
Okay.
Why don't you introduce this movie?
So I picked the movie this week. I picked Jake Kasdan's 2002 film Orange County. Written by Mike White and starring Colin Hanks and Jack Black. And
that's Tom Hanks' son?
Yeah, that's Colin Hanks.
I don't think I've ever like been aware of... I know he has a son. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything.
He has two.
He has two sons?
He has... Well, actually, I think he has more, but two that bro, I know
I
of.
Bro, I need to slow down. He has Chet
Hanks.
I thought that was his only son.
And then Colin Hanks.
And Colin Hanks is an actor.
I know there's a daughter.
Hannah Hanks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay. And I want to say there's another one, but I could be very, very wrong.
Guy's busy winning awards, fucking his wife. That's the dream, man.
Yeah, correct. But yeah, this movie was written by Mike White. It came out the year before School of Rock and is actually kind of...
And about a year after 9/11.
Yes,
but not really a 9/11 movie. It doesn't have the tenure of like a... Tenure, is that the word I'm looking for? Tenor. It doesn't have a tenor of like... Because you know like how... We've talked about it. How like American society and culture shifted after 9/11.
Yes.
It very much feels like a 2000 movie.
Yes.
Like it's still like kind of hopeful Americana.
Yes. It was made in that like... 3 year period of or four, I guess, 99 to 03, where they weren't quite sure how to make a 2000s movie yet.
Yeah.
Where like there it has like weird 90s pacing, but it has 2000 sensibilities, and
it's
and
a banger.
I really like
I was
it.
Watching this and I was like,
I'm so happy.
It is well, it looks good.
Yeah,
I like the shots. I like the weird 90s, 2000s. We have to put a song every 10 minutes.
The fact that Butterfly is dropped three times. There were three needle drops for Butterfly.
Got it, dude. That's how we used to be a country, dude. We used to be a country.
Also, I'm fairly... no, you didn't see the end. The last song is... Phantom Planets, California. And the first time I watched this movie, I had seen the show The OC, which is entirely different, but also takes place in Orange County. And that's the theme song to The OC. And so the entire time I'm watching Orange County, I'm like, that is the song.
Of Orange County. That's the national anthem.
That's the national anthem of the Orange County. When are they going
to
play it?
The only musical choices that would have made better is to maybe capture the time period with some Creed.
Sure.
Or Drops of Jupiter.
I want to say Drops of Jupiter's 04.
Fuck. I just think Drops of Jupiter's a banger song.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it should have been in this movie, but that's impossible. But it would have been.
No. I'm going to mention this. I don't know. I'm going to mention, before we get into the movie, I'm going to mention this story here so that I don't forget it. This movie and the 2015 Japanese movie Tag are the two movies that I watched that made me so thankful that I have a film degree.
Tag's Japanese?
Well, there's the 2018 Jeremy Renner movie about playing tag.
Wait, which one are you bringing?
The Japanese movie.
Oh, okay, thank God. You're like, I'm bringing this movie, like, Tag, that I'm really excited for you to see. It's one of my favorite movies.
It's in my top 10.
And I was like, the movie about Tag?
No, it's based on a book called Devil's Tag.
Okay, because I was...
It's like Devil
Games. I
didn't
think less of you, but I was judging you in that moment. No, I was like, the movie about a bunch of adult men playing tag?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I have Woo! Not seen.
Bright future ahead. I'm worried there.
No, directed by the adult men playing tag is directed by Jeff Tomsic, who I want to say did a bunch of Jackass.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But I was watching. I watched Jumanji, the 2017. Was that Welcome to the Jungle? That's the first one. Okay.
I don't know if it's Jumanji.
Okay. The 2017 Jumanji movie. And I was watching it with friends, and the entire time I'm watching this movie, it felt visually and tonally like Orange County to me. And like, I'm watching it and I'm like, this feels like Orange County and I can't explain it. And then I see Colin Hanks and Jack Black having like a little conversation, and I'm like, have they been in a movie together since Orange County? And I thought about bringing it up to my friends in the theater, but they've never seen this movie.
Is it like same director?
Yes. Mm. And the credits rolled and it was Jake Kasdan. And I'm like, fucking auteur theory is real.
It's real. The one movie I'm always glad I have like film background for having watched is a Suicide Squad.
Nice.
The original one.
Yeah.
Because I went with another friend who also has a degree in film, and two people who didn't. And, like, it's so much fun to watch a movie that has been butchered in the editing room.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, I see every single cut.
Yep. There is one good scene in that movie, in a genuinely good scene. And it's the bar scene.
The bar scene's good. We're going to do a quick review of Suicide Squad in, like, 3 sentences. Bar scene's good.
Yes.
I like Diablo.
Sure.
The Joker's the hero in this movie.
That is a take.
The Joker does nothing wrong that we see in this movie.
Sure.
The Joker has his same henchman who he doesn't kill.
Sure.
Throughout the entire movie. And he gets a bomb out of his girlfriend's neck and then sacrifices himself for her. Yeah. He does nothing wrong in this movie.
Suicide Squad is a movie that I want to see the David Ayer cut.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see the, because, like, I don't know, if, yeah, I'm sure you know what happened. They hired, like, a trailer company to edit the trailer, and the trailer got so popular that they hired that company to recut the entire movie, and the entire movie falls apart. It's also not terrible. It's like a D plus, C minus. Like, it's not good.
I'll give it a C minus. It's not, I didn't have a bad time watching it.
It's just boring.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough moments that'll keep it going.
Sure.
It's not exciting, but...
Yeah, the bar scene is genuinely, I think, a really good scene.
The actors carry it.
Yes, and it's a scene that...
Actors carry the whole movie. All the actors are well cast. It's just...
Yeah. It's a scene that has been affected the least by editing, which almost makes me feel like it was the least re-edited.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our podcast about a Suicide Squad. But catch us next week.
So, yeah, I'm in the theater, and the credits roll on Jumanji, and it's Jake Kasdan. And I like, turn to my friends, and I'm, at this point, ranting, where I'm like, auteur theory is real. Holy shit, this entire time, I'm thinking about Orange County,
and
I don't
know
why.
They have no idea what you're saying. Half, no, you empty out half of your delicious movie theater Coke to fill it up with vodka. You're even more slurred.
But that, yeah.
You put a hole in the bottom of your popcorn, but instead of a dick, it's like jello shots you're pulling out.
Sure.
But now, like, he does have a very distinct visual. We'll get this out of the way because it's so consistent.
Yes.
There's such a distinct visual style in this movie, which is really good. Yes. All the shots are beautiful, they do good angles, and it's like dynamic.
Yes. The movie that he makes a movie like 3 years after this called The TV Set, that you can definitely tell it's the same director, and you can tell that The TV Set was his passion project. Like, Orange County was like not a surprise success, but surprised that it was like as successful as it was. And so he got his blank check, and so he decided to make The TV Set. And, like, I'm very happy that Jake Kasdan got to make his passion project movie. I really am. The entire time I'm watching it, I'm like, I'd rather be watching Orange County.
I could tell where that was going. That's how you start, like, every critique of anybody. You're like, I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy for them. He's a great guy. He's doing what he loves. He shouldn't have killed his wife.
Listen, I'm not the wife thing, but I generally try and stay positive. Like,
I know we love that about you, buddy.
If I'm gonna critique, I'm gonna like try and look at it from the wide
angle lens.
Yeah, like I watched.
That's a film term.
Yeah. I watched John Carpenter's Memoirs of an Invisible Man a couple weeks ago for the first time. And I think my general review was, I hope the check he got was huge. And I'm very glad that he got to work with Sam Neill on a better movie immediately after this. But Orange County rules, dude.
Orange County's... Look, we were talking about this before the podcast. I like everything but the main character.
Sure.
The main character is awful.
Yeah.
He reminds me of a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a 17-year-old boy.
Don't say he reminds me of a lot of people I know and go, yeah, he's a 17-year-old boy. That sounds weird in context.
No, I know a lot of people who are emotionally 17.
Yeah, emotionally. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fucking theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this like theory that like men get emotionally stunted around the age where they first fuck.
Okay.
Friend told me this once drunk. It might not actually be a thing, but I nodded and went, that makes sense.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, we're following him. We'll get into his antics and what he's up to. Everyone else in this movie is a great character who I don't hate and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But like every time he talks, I wish he was the one that died in the wave.
Sure. I understand that.
He's kind of a piece of shit.
He's a spoiled rich
kid. He's gonna continue to be a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, he has a bit of character growth. He's going to continue to be... He's not going to... It's going to be a different piece of shit. He's going to be a pretentious piece of shit for the rest of his fucking life.
I think he's going to be a pretentious piece of shit for the next 3 or 4 years. And then I really want to hope that, like a lot of people,
a decade. It'll take him at least a decade.
I'll take a decade. A lot of people grow out of it around 22, 23. Like, once college is over is when they grow out of it.
You're just hoping.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, this little shit.
This is, I don't want a sequel to this movie at all. I think it actually ends fine.
Well, yeah, what the sequel be about?
I don't know, but I would want to revisit where these people are 20 years later at this point.
Like, the ones in Tenacious D.
Yeah, like how
I think, is it still a thing? Then they could.
Yeah, Tenacious D was. Yeah, it's still.
It was not going to be a thing. Now it's a thing again.
No, it was never not going to be a thing. They just put the tour on hiatus.
Jesus
Christ. Jack Black is fantastic in this movie.
Oh yeah, he's utterly peak Jack Black.
There's yeah,
as everything you want, except the only thing he doesn't do, does he sing? Not that pops out.
Not especially. He may sing to the radio.
He does like everything else he does though. He does his weird karate like moves.
Yes.
You know, just Jack Black things. I thought I was going to have a list there, but it's really just the karate moves and like classic Jack Black.
It's karate moves. It's the high energy to low energy to cartoon to real person. It's the fact that he is the peak male form. And
yeah.
Yeah. Jack Black is, in my opinion, the peak male physique, especially in this movie. Yeah. Yes. He, 2002, 2003, Jack Black is the body I'm striving for. Is that I'm actively working towards.
He's in decent shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big dude who's proud of it, but is also like high energy and sexy, dude. Like,
yeah, I'm not saying he's not sexy. I mean, there's a seduction scene in this movie that's very believable.
1,000%.
But I'm not sure if it's like the peak male form.
I agree to disagree, I think.
That's what God looks like. That's what Adam looks like when you made him in his image.
Yes.
That.
I'm going, yeah, no, fuck it. I'm willing to die on that hill.
I think the peak male form is Doug Jones.
Yeah? Mm. Okay, that's fair. Not only is he the peak male form, I genuinely believe Jack Black is the greatest actor to ever live. Do you have a counterpoint?
I don't have a counterpoint. I'm not sure I agree with it.
Okay.
But it's something I would have to look into before I could have a counterpoint.
Fair enough.
I'm not sure if he's... Well, I mean, the one big, big thing against him... Are we saying like male actor or actor overall?
I mean, I say actor overall, but let's just go male actor.
Okay, because I definitely have counterpoints.
For actor overall?
Yeah.
Okay, who?
He can't play an Asian like Scarlett Johansson can.
He played Poe, motherfucker.
Oh, all pandas are Asian?
In the movie set in China? Yes.
Sounds kind of sus.
No, the panda set in China, sus. If you want to believe. Okay, whatever.
I mean, I don't know, Alan Rickman.
Okay, what about Rickman? What can Rickman do that Jack
Black
can't
do? Hang on. I was just thinking, he's a great actor. Fucking Sam Rockwell.
Solid. Sam Rockwell is a solid choice.
He's because I'm just basing this more range.
Okay. Based,
yeah. Like, Sam Rockwell has played so many different fucking roles, and he's in so many movies, and I've never been like, he's always the best part of the movie. And it's always like, oh, there's Sam Rockwell, and he always, like, knocks out of the park and goes home.
Sure.
I'm always willing to give, like, best actors, like, the character actors who don't get as much name. Actually, no, what the fuck am I saying? John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly won, like, an Oscar or whatever for fucking Chicago.
Yeah.
Which he plays a really dramatic role.
Yeah.
He's also Steve Brule.
Yes. Jack Black has also played method actor dramatic in Bernie, which is not a great movie. It's an okay movie. I actually may bring that movie at some point. It's not going to be in the first year. Or if it is...
Well, Paul Giamatti.
Nah, Jack Black can do what Paul Giamatti does. Paul Giamatti cannot do what Jack Black does.
Sam Rockwell. Do you think that Jack Black can do what Sam Rockwell does?
I think they play in different lanes, but I think they are First off, now this just makes me want to watch a movie with the two of them together.
Look, Kirsten Stewart could be Poe. Jack Black couldn't be Bella.
I would love to see Jack Black be Bella.
And my other take is Timothy Chalamet, because he's in Dune.
That's your only thing. Okay.
He's in Dune. I've never seen Timothy Chalamet act before, to my knowledge.
Sure.
Until I watched Dune, I was like, "Oh, this is good. I see why everyone's saying this. Boy's a hot commodity. This boy can act."
Sure.
Which I've had a lot of this year. It's like, "Oh, they can act." But no, Jack Black was a standout in this movie.
Jack Black's the standout. He is in the every standout movie. In
this. I think he gets lost in Borderlands.
I've not seen Borderlands.
I've only seen clips.
Okay.
He can't save it.
Sure. That's not to say Jack Black saves everything.
I just don't think he stands out because he's lost in the cacophony of shit.
Sure.
That
sure,
is
sure,
a movie.
Sure.
And now it's going to happen again with Minecraft. They saw Sonic the Hedgehog and they said, "We can do Gamers' Roots better." And you can't. Kudakane is eternal. So is Sonic the Hedgehog.
So when you say Gamers' Roots,
yeah,
every time, yeah, I imagine in my head, and I may cut this out,
yeah,
I imagine in my head Eggman with a whip whipping Tails saying, "Your name is Tails," and he says, "My name is Miles Prower." What? "Your name is Tails."
You do not cut that out. You leave that in. That's the funniest joke I think you've ever made. That is so fucked.
Every time you say it.
Man, your name is Tails. My name is Miles.
Okay.
Oh, woof. But yeah, other than that, there's John Lithgow in this movie.
Yeah.
He's pretty. He does the stand-up job. I don't know any of the other actors, really.
Catherine O'Hara.
Isn't there, what's his name? Is that the guy who plays Egon? Ghostbusters.
Harold Ramis. Yeah, he plays
Harold Ramis?
Yeah, he plays the dean.
I'm like, holy fuck, is that Harold Ramis? He was good
in
this.
Yes, it is. He's, just fucking, give me 2 seconds. Let me go through the cast list. That sounded way too annoyed than I was. I truly was just like, "Hey, give me 2 seconds." And I sounded like...
Yeah, it's like I wasn't crushing you, too. I was just...
No. Also, this movie came out January 11th, 2002, which
That's my birthday.
Nice.
This came out on the first birthday I had after 9/11.
Yeah. So
I was 6 when this movie came
there's
out.
There's almost no way that... There's almost no way that this movie was made after 9/11. It definitely was made pre 9/11.
Yeah, it was. I think they probably finished the final scenes when the second tower fell.
Sure. There's so many good people.
The fuck was that movie? There's a movie where like 9/11 happened. It's not a good movie, but like 9/11 happened during filming and they had like a moment of silence on set, like a really short moment of silence.
Oh, the fucking the Dana Carvey's dressed as the turtle. Is that the story?
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually not true.
It's not true.
They did have, from what I gather, did have a moment of silence for 9/11. He was not.
Have you seen Master of Disguise?
If I have, it's been too long, and I remember none of it.
It's
so
on the list.
You can absolutely put it on the list.
I remember there being one good scene.
Okay.
Like, I remember a lot of scenes, but I remember one being like, you know what? That's good. So we'll see if that holds up.
This movie... Oh, fuck it. Lily Tomlin plays the guidance counselor in this movie. I always remember that.
I don't know who she is.
She's a comedy legend. Like, legend.
Oh, she and Austin Powers?
Maybe.
Does she play the lady in Austin Powers?
The
bad lady.
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm so sorry. It's not listed. It's not in her immediate listings. Well, but she was like, yeah.
What's she done?
She was one of the first like Grammy winning stand-ups. She was one of the first lesbian stand-ups.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah.
That sounded so dismissive.
No, I
understand. Oh, good for her.
No, I got Chevy Chase plays the principal in this movie.
Yeah, Chevy Chase is in this.
And I hate Chevy Chase, but like they utilize him perfectly.
He came up and I was like,
barely at all.
Oof.
Yeah. Chevy Chase is the reason that Memoirs of an Invisible Man doesn't work.
Is he in that?
It's his vanity project.
Oh.
Yeah. He basically.
So it's not about the Invisible Man.
He plays an invisible man.
Like a legitimately invisible man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also does brownface. So
in the movie?
In the movie where he plays an invisible man.
Yeah. I mean, if someone needs to see, you know, you got a shoe polish in your back pocket, I guess. Guess that's all right.
Leslie
can't be blackface if he doesn't have a face, Harrison.
No, they show his face as makeup and it's brownface.
Oh wow, that's bad.
Yeah.
I thought they were doing like the Gentleman's League of Extraordinary People, that kind of style.
Good movie. This is excellent podcasting, by the way.
This is top tier podcasting.
We totally haven't gotten to the movie yet.
It will get there. It's a short, fast movie.
It is. It's like 77 minutes
the
or something
like
that.
The plot is like so quick.
I know. I love it.
We gotta vamp for this one and talk about all this stuff around it before we get to the plot. Talk for 10 minutes and go, yep.
So this movie was the first collaboration between Mike White and Jack Black. And I wanted, School of Rock was essentially written because of this movie, because they got along so well. And Mike White saw Black as the greatest actor who ever lived correctly and was like, so I'm going to build a movie entirely around you. Give me a year. And they did. And it was School of Rock, which is my favorite movie of all time.
I think he liked Jack Black a lot because he kind of looked like him.
And I was leaving a mic last night, and an older black gentleman in a pimp suit and a bunch of rings on his finger gave me a fist bump and said, hey, Jack Black, what up? And I have never felt more confident in my entire life.
Do you think he honestly mistook you or just being cool?
No, I think he was just being cool. But the fact that that was his go-to reference for me.
I got mistaken for a famous Magic the Gathering player once at a bar, like streamer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they said, I love your videos, and we figured out who it was.
Who was it?
I don't remember. I only watch the big streamers. But the next day, he was in a lot of hot water for beating his wife.
Oh, shit.
And what's like wild about that is that that was, in fact, me being mistaken for him, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I beat his wife.
Okay. Shit, dude. I did... I didn't see that coming. So this movie begins. Wait, let me just check the time. 53 minutes. And we're just now getting to this movie begins, which means I very likely we will be over half an hour to 40 minutes into this episode. To the point where I almost don't want to talk about the movie.
I mean, look, it's a great movie, folks. It's a great movie. There isn't too much to go into plot-wise. So we're going to talk about the plot, then we're going to continue vamping about the characters, because really it's... I mean, the guy just wants to go to Stanford really bad because he's a little fucking nerd, and he thinks to be a good writer you have to go to college for it, which is insane. Which is fucking insane.
Well, he wants to study under a specific writer. Like,
no, it's not how writing works.
It's like apprenticeship. He wants to be an apprentice to this writer.
Ah, yeah, Stephen King famously studied under notable author. I don't have a name here because he didn't. It's a weird take for an author because really authors don't like, I trained under the great literary mind of this person. They have their influences, but I would argue that like if you just get a basic creative writing degree, which you don't even need, but if you go to college for like getting a creative writing degree or whatever, and like most of an like writing comes from just reading,
sure,
books,
yeah,
and having a story to tell yourself. It's not something. It touches on the thing which made me really annoyed with
Don't Think Twice.
Don't Think Twice, which reminded me of a lot of people that I didn't like in college, which is the idea that it's like, I have to go to college and do it very structured way to be a good blank.
Sure.
And like film, it makes a bit more sense because there's technical aspects. But then they start like, then they get to the writing aspects. They're like, I need to read all the books on writing. I need to study under a good script writer. And like, it comes to writing, it's really like, there's the line he says where he's like, you are a good writer because you don't need to go to school for that. It helps.
Yeah.
Certainly, but you don't have to go to school to write. A lot of these people were just English teachers who decided to start writing.
Agreed. I think what school does provide, and I don't know if writing is a great example, but it's not a terrible one, is it provides a four-year period where there is a structure in place where you have to write.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to go to Stanford for that.
Correct.
He's like, I have to apply for Stanford, and I have great grades, and I'm on the Model UN.
Yes.
Model UN, and I'm on the debate team.
Yes.
Which I don't respect. In my Appalachian retreat, I was with one of my best friends, Vic. And yeah. She said that anyone who's on the debate team is a huge fucking nerd and she doesn't trust them. Well, it's not real. It's not real.
What's not real?
I'm going to talk about some weird thing for a while. It's dumb. It's a dumb thing people do to sound prestigious. Like, I was on a debate team and it's like, you just argued about inane shit with another person.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It shows that you can competitively put together a
competitively.
It is. Like, there are rules inside. And listen, I didn't do debate. I don't really even have much. I mean, I have respect
like,
for
arguing.
Like,
I grew up on the streets.
Like, yeah.
Like, famously, the rough streets
Ohio. I was going to say.
Settle your debates with your fists.
Sure.
No, if you tried to have, like, because, like, I just think it doesn't have a purpose. Because you go to, like, have an actual debate with someone, and you're like, I'm going to use my debate skills. You're not going to do shit. It's like if you're, like, a rich guy who's taken fencing classes your whole life, and you're like, I'm a fencer. And you go off to war in the Crusades, and you're like, I've been taught in the art of fencing and dueling and swordsmanship, and then some fucking dude who like grew up on a farm cleaves you in half with like a sword.
Sure.
Or like how like a lot of times martial artists actually like will get their asses kicked in like street fights,
mm-hmm.
because they're so used to the structure that like when you're in a fight and you're so used to doing like sparring,
yeah.
and shit that you're like and so when you're attacked by someone who's like attacking you in the street, you're like that's where your brain's at, and they're like, I'm just gonna beat the fuck out of this guy.
An old roommate, I love debating just because I think it's fun. Like I think it's fun, not in a like I want to be right, but in a like.
I want to see
how another person's brain. Works.
I agree that debating as an act is good. I just think that debate club is full of pretentious assholes who think it means something.
That I will agree with, but I also think that they're. And I'm not saying every debate has to have the ground rules of a debate club, but I do think there needs to be ground rules to a debate. And I had an old roommate who. I have this theory.
Was he the one that cooked for me that one time when I dropped you off?
Yes. Yeah. I have this theory that 80% of any philosophy debate is literally laying down the ground rules. And it's 20% actually debating philosophy.
The only ground rule I follow in debates is may the best man win. Or woman.
But you have to, like, you have to argue semantics and argue definitions to so that
that's
everyone.
Half the fun. Half the fun is when you're debating someone and you get into a semantics battle.
Yes,
for like
I agree.
20 minutes. That's why I like less ground rules, is because I just want to, like, I want to have a moment where we're doing, like how in, like, formal logic, you can, like, technically saying, this is an apple, this is not an apple, I am God, is logically sound.
Sure.
Because one of those, like, weird, like, with logic notation glitches you can do. And it's like, I like when you get to the point where you're just doing weird fucking arguments around each other that mean nothing and have no basis in any logic or reason.
But he would get so annoyed. He would get so annoyed whenever we would do this. He would also bring up the debates, but he would get so annoyed at arguing what the definitions, because he just wanted to argue the points. And I'm like, no, but you need the ground rules. You need what do these words mean before we can actually sit down and have the conversation. And it got to the point where we learned each other's debate styles so well that the last time we had an argument, I literally said, we're about three sentences away from arguing in circles. And three sentences later, we were just arguing in circles. And he genuinely was like, how the fuck did you know that? And I'm like, because I know how you argue. I know how I argue. I like this. I'm willing to continue to argue in circles.
I figured out the rules of battle.
Yes, I'm willing to continue to argue in circles until we are no longer arguing in circles and can like go to our next point. But I also know you don't like arguing in circles. So if you want to end this, let's just call it.
I prepared my binder of how we argue. Our argument flows. You're such a nerd.
No,
I was watching this movie and the whole time I'm like, this isn't a movie that like is about Harrison. This is a movie about like a person Harrison is adjacent to, because Harrison's on the same path, and Harrison says, "Well, you know, he means well the whole time. Like you're like on the same path and doing it much better, and like not insufferably, but you're there. You're
sure.
Like, my transcript.
I did very well.
That's
academically.
Not my transcript. I'm Sean. I was like, what a fucking loser."
Fun fact.
I forgot what a transcript was. I'm like, what is he sending to the college?
Fun fact.
I assume I sent a transcript to college.
You had to have.
I don't remember it.
The Shane character, who is Lily Tomlin sends the wrong transcript to Stanford after telling him not to apply to any other college because he's a shoo-in, and then sends the wrong transcript. Shane something.
Yeah.
Bender. Let's say Shane Bender. I don't remember his last name. And the actor who plays Shane is Frank Kranz. Frank Kranz, who plays the stoner in Cabin of the Woods, and he plays Topher. And he plays Topher in Dollhouse, which is not a great show, but he's
premise.
Excellent in it.
Yeah, no, like, because, like, I didn't know that. But no, like a lot of those movies about a man screaming about his transcript. Because he's like, I want to go to Stanford to study. Because like he was like, I used to just be a piece of shit. I was just surfing and partying. And it's like him sitting around a circle with friends around a campfire on the beach at night having a good time.
Yeah, right.
He's just like, it's just him having a good time. He's like it's just a bunch of people. He's there with his girlfriend. They're not like doing drugs or like harming themselves. They're just hanging around.
They were smoking weed.
Yeah, he's very anti-weed. Because
he used to smoke
weed. They're just smoking weed around a fireplace. Yeah. They're not doing anything crazy. They're just having a good time.
Yeah.
He's surfing. He's having a good time. He's like, then my friend died, which is one of my favorite scenes, because it's like, there's tsunami waves. It's like, I'm not sure you can surf tsunami waves because all the waters go in.
Yeah.
I also don't think there's ever been a tsunami over there. Anyways, but like, it's my favorite scene because they're like, I don't know if I should do this, which is like the one time he's right. And he surfs out and the wave comes up and the guy just goes, righteous, and then dies. And then they do like the beach funeral where they're all wearing black, but it's like the girls are like in black bikinis and they're all like black swim shirts. But he's like, anyway, I was like doing meditation, which is like the most insufferable way to like, if your friend dies, you're like, I spent a lot of time meditating on myself after that, with like saying it like that, those exact words.
Sure.
Awful.
Phrasing it like that. Yeah. Whatever you got to do to deal with grief, as long as you're not hurting anyone else.
And then he found like a book in the sand and he read it 53 times in a month, which seems excessive. I feel like you need a cool down period between reading a book.
Yeah. 50. I understand that that's kind of a joke, but like 53 times in a month is impossible.
Yeah.
Let's do safe math. It's a, let's say 190. It's longer. It's going to be like 220. But
I think it's like a slaughterhouse.
Okay. So that's what, like 200?
I think it's actually like 400.
Well, it's short. It's like
it's
a.
Shorter.
Yeah. So let's say 200. It's a 200 page book. On average, let's say you read a page a minute. That's 3.5 hours, which means he spent 7 hours one day reading this book twice. Yeah, while doing schoolwork. It's and not, but he's like, Model UN.
He's like, I read this book and I was like laughing out loud and crying, and he's like quite literally laughing out loud and like sobbing. I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Listen, I have laughed at jokes in a book. I have never like guffawed.
Yeah, but you go like I have at most. Like I've read Catch 22. There are many times in Catch 22 that I was like,
I have read I have like not like gut busted, but I have like laughed yeah. at a couple times when reading.
Now have you had tears pouring out? It's like sobbing, like I have not over the dead corpse of your mother, which is how he was.
I have cried because of books. I don't know. I have cried because of books. I don't know if I don't think I've ever sobbed.
It's like a.
But like yeah.
When I was young, I cried over Aragorn.
Yeah.
When the guy dies. I cried over books. There's like, and then he's like, so I decided to become a writer, and then he does like the best possible thing you can do as a writer. Like, kids at home, if you're listening, you want to be a writer, stop living life, only write. Only write.
Yeah.
Ask any writer. All you should do is write. All you should do is write.
Right.
Neil Gaiman famously, all he does is write. He never, does anything with his family. He doesn't live out in the woods so he can go for walks and enjoy nature. Stephen King, all he does is write. Doesn't do drugs either.
Not anymore.
Doesn't do drugs either. But it's like, he's like, oh, I spent every minute. I became a machine of writing, which is how you know someone's bad
yeah.
at writing. It turns out he's a decent writer, but he's going about it the wrong way. Is because anyone, you can say, you can like tell someone, oh, I was a machine last night. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's 100% fine to be like, I really pumped through a chapter. But if you're like, all I'm doing is... It's like that fucking, you know that book? You know that book about the kids and their school was supposed to be very long?
Wayside?
Yeah, yeah. And there's the one girl and all she does is draw like 100 pictures a day.
Yes.
And they're all kind of bad. Like, that's what happens if you do that much.
Yeah.
Any art requires... So all I did was write. And so I decided I was going to go to Stanford. And I stopped surfing. I sold my board, and all I did was write. And I'm gonna go to Stanford. I'm gonna be a writer. Ooh, my GPA. Ooh, I'm not gonna hang out with my friends anymore. And who has time for that? Who has time for beach parties and surfing and being friends when I could be writing? Fucking hate this kid.
I get it. He means well.
Fucking hate this kid. Does he? Because he just constantly looks at everyone else around him. He's like, I realized how vapid everyone around me was. They don't know anything. They're just vapid party heads. That look at them enjoying life. These vapid sheep.
Listen, it's
everyone around me. I am the intelligent, smart one. Everyone else around
me. Never met an 18-year-old boy. 18-year-old boys think they know everything.
Like, even at my worst, I wasn't like. Everyone else around me is vapid and they're nothing, and I have to escape this place.
No, I didn't have the everyone is nothing. I did have the I want to escape this place. And I did. I made it out.
Yeah, because like in college, I definitely thought I was better than a lot of people.
Yes, a lot of
people.
Yes, you did.
Still do.
I'm aware.
But it wasn't like everybody. Like, they truly, like, every single person he interacts with, he's like, this vapid fool doesn't understand that I need to go to Stanford. Idiot.
Dude. So he gets rejected because Lily Tomlin sent in the wrong transcript.
And one of the cheerleaders gets accepted.
Yeah, well.
Which
yeah.
I thought originally was the transcript was going to go, but no, it's because it was a mistake made.
Yeah, they sent it to Stoner.
And then he freaks out and he like physically assaults her.
He does. Well,
which I have to stress. If you're like, no, you sent the. They don't know my GPA or my extracurricular activities. Have that, the witch. And like, if you attack your guidance counselor because they sent like. The wrong GPA. And I get it. Like, I only applied to Kent State because that's where I wanted to go. Because the campus was cool and they had fish and chips. And so that was the college for me. And they said, you should apply to some safety schools. And I said, no, sir. Kent State's the place for me with its fish and chips and walkable, fun campus. It didn't matter because, like, a bunch of prestigious schools sent me, like, oh, well, come to us for free. And I rejected them all. It's some like prestigious old school, maybe Ivy in Pennsylvania. It's like one of the big, like kind of like brownstone colleges over there. Like was like, come with us for free. It's like, no.
Okay.
No, I want to go to Kent State because it's full of freaks. Because I toured Bowling Green and everyone was just like the same white guy.
Sure.
He's going to be all the same white guy going to merch. You go to Kent, you see like a furry with a pride flag skateboarding down. Well, like a Nazi's like screaming about how that guy needs to be put into a camp. And you're like, this camp is chaos. It's a fucking freak show. It's nuts. It's literally, it's a circus. Maybe it's not a freak show. Freak show has a negative connotation. It's a circus.
It's beautiful and awful.
I was eating my fish and chips.
And I hate it.
And a guy came in wearing a Spider-Man outfit, holding a sign that said Bug Lives Matter, and started a fight in the middle of like the hub, the eating area.
Nice.
I'm like, God, I fucking love this freak of a, God, it's got character. But then, if I got messed up and my wrong transcript went somewhere, they would have accepted me regardless. It's Kent State. I wouldn't have physically assaulted my college guidance counselor.
Yeah. Then she beats the shit
instantly.
Out of him.
She fucking like, bam,
she has, like,
bam,
Krav
bam.
Maga on the dude. Yeah. And then runs away screaming, call the police.
As she should. He should. She this should. Movie should have ended with him getting kicked out of, like, expelled from high school. He should have got a GED. He attacked a faculty member. And then he decides... What the fuck does he do? He decides, he's like, I'm going to go to my rich dad, right? Is that his next go-to?
Yes.
He's like, I'm going to go to my rich dad. I'm going to get him to give a donation, and then they'll let me in.
Because his dad left after the business got successful and knocked up a 20-year-old.
Yeah. Pretty hot.
Leslie Mann? Yeah. Judd Apatow's wife.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. That's how I feel about James Gunn's wife.
Yeah?
What's her name? She's in Peacemaker.
Oh, I don't know.
She's like ripped, dude.
Okay.
Not like ripped, but she's like in good shape. And then I'm like, damn, all these fucking fun directors. I'm glad all the fun directors get the hot wives.
Gives you hope.
That's what I just want them to do. I want them to have hot, loving relationships. You know, I want them to be in a loving relationship that's emotionally fulfilling, but also their wife is hot. Not the most important thing, but it's, you know, they deserve that extra boost of like they're both good looking people and they're both happy and they're both making good shit.
I have nothing
That's
to add
I
to that. I have nothing
it's
to
a
add
weird
to
tangent.
That.
We're gonna move past it. Yeah, he goes over to his like dad's house with his hot wife and she like feels him up a bit. And then his dad's like on three phones and then they have a big argument. I didn't understand much. I didn't have a dad growing up. It's something about like, you're not being a dad for me. Don't know what that means. But then he's like, you've done nothing for me. You're not going to make a big donation in my name. You've done nothing for me, dad. Fuck you. And then he leaves. He's like, oh, I'm ruined. And the dad also sees this. I'm going to mention this because I care more about the dad's story arc.
Uh-huh.
Then this kid's is he sees that his that it does hit him a bit, and he sees that his wife is like playing around with the pool boy. But he goes out of the car. He's like, man, I'll never get into Stanford. And then like his girlfriend, who's like an animal freak, as she's mentioned several times, saved a dog from being hit, and it's tearing up his car, which is like a bit shitty. But he's like, oh, this day can't get worse. And she's like, I prayed for you not to go to Stanford because it would break up our relationship.
Is that the second butterfly needle drop of this movie?
I think so.
Yes, because there's the cheerleader dance. Then there's the, it's on the radio when she sees the dog. And then it's at the house.
Yeah,
because
he kind of crashes through this cheerleader dance at one point. After he's like in a fugue state because they don't know my GPA. Fucking piece of shit. So then his girlfriend's like, listen, I'll make it up for you. You were praying really hard you wouldn't go to Stanford, which honestly, good on her. She's the OG of this movie. And she's like my friend, the cheerleader. Her granddad works at Stanford's board, and he'll get you in. And then so then she goes over to, they go over and she's like, I'm not going to help you. And he's like, no, all is lost. And then she's like, I'm going to talk to him, just sit in the car. And she goes and talks to her, slut shames her into compliance.
Yeah, because she like made out with the two best friends at Lonnie's funeral.
Yeah.
Lonnie is the friend who
died. Yeah.
Played by Brett Harrison, who is on a one season show called Reaper that rips. And he's the boyfriend in Eight Simple Rules.
And she also fucked like a nerdy guy.
Yeah.
Honestly, she seems chill.
Sure.
She seems chill. Do you see, like, I don't know if they're trying to play that off as, like, a bad thing. Like, she's like, oh, look at her. She's kind of like a mean cheerleader. I mean, you know, willing to fuck whoever. She doesn't, you know, I think that's a good quality in a person.
Yeah.
Is being able to be like, you know, they seem fun. I'm going to fuck them.
Nice.
Yeah. You gave me a real Jennifer vibe.
Yeah. No, yeah, totally. I forget the actress's name. I don't want to look it up right now.
Where it's like you're they kind of look similar too, but it's like you're the popular cheerleader girl, but you seem chill.
Yeah.
You seem decent.
So Catherine O'Hara plays the mother, and she's
Catherine. I was trying to figure who it was the entire time.
Yeah, Catherine O'Hara plays the mother. She is a drunk, and the granddad's going to come over, and Sean
yeah,
is
yeah,
like...
Yeah, because she manages to convince them through mostly the funeral
yes.
fucking.
And Sean's like, yo...
And again, equal opportunities. She's yeah. like, the guy's like, I miss him, and they start making out, and the guy's like, I miss him too, and she's like, get over here, you know?
Yeah. Sean's like, please hold your shit together okay. for like 2 hours.
He comes over and says, because he's like, oh, fuck, because Jack... Black has been introduced at this point.
Yes.
As his druggy older brother.
As his addict brother who needs yeah. help.
Who does yes. need help, but he's like, I mean, he tries to read the guys right, because he's like, oh, no one could ever read my script around here, because everyone's vapid and stupid, and my girlfriend only gives me support, and I can't trust her because she only supports me, and my brother's too much of a druggie to fucking read my shit. And it shows him he's like making an effort. He just pukes because he does too many drugs and says he has to go. But like, it shows when we're introduced to it, he's sitting there reading his stuff.
Yes.
I have to stress that I love this character. He needs help.
Yes.
But he's a good, like, he's doing his, he's a good brother. Like, he might not, I'm gonna say if you take away the drug, because like, he's not a bad brother. He's just dealing with a lot of shit. But like, in every instance where he's supportive and tries to help him.
Yes.
He's like, I'll read your thing. Sorry I vomited because I did too many drugs. But he was reading it. He's like, oh, man, I'm too high. I can't read that shit. He goes, like, yeah, I'll read your shit. He's great. I love that character.
He is.
I love all the characters. But yeah, he goes to his mom and says, hey, mom, I know that you're like a bad mom and you're always drunk and shit, and this family sucks. So can you pull your shit together and not be a shit show and not do impressions? Fuck you. And then she's like, I'm a bad mother. And then she like goes upstairs. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. You're not a bad mother. I need you to do something for me. I mean, you're not a bad mother. He's a piece of shit. I hate this kid.
He is. And I agree.
God. But then she's like, I'll do it for you, son. She doesn't. But she tries.
That's the thing is.
Yeah. Everyone's trying.
Yes.
She had a bad divorce.
Yeah, she helped build up his business, and the moment it got successful, he left.
Yeah, she's going through it, and honestly, if I was his mother, I'd be drinking that much too.
Yeah.
The piece of shit he is.
She also married Bob, who is a disabled man now, like, I don't know if it's mentioned, like, what kind of illness he has, but it's some kind of, like...
Why'd she marry... What is he...
He was a rich dude. He was just a rich dude.
Okay, just a rich dude.
Because she mentions that in the house, in the bedroom, that like she fell in love with the tennis instructor, but he was poor, and they would have been cutting coupons. But she married Bob and slept with him 4 times.
Yeah.
So that they could afford a nice life.
Yeah. Yeah. Made sacrifices for you. He like plays it off like it's not a sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's a sacrifice she had to make for you. Ungrateful. Little shit. I hate you, Sean. But yeah, and he tells his brother to stay in his room.
Yeah. And then, after giving him his piss.
Yeah, giving him his piss.
We're introduced to Jack Black because...
He's laying in the bathroom waiting for piss for a drug test.
Yes. He's like, hey, my parole officer needs my piss. Can I have yours?
And 100%.
Yeah.
Drugs aren't crimes.
Correct.
Always give your piss to a friend in need.
Sure.
As you know, is the subtitle of our podcast.
Sure. I think it's really weird that I needed to take a drug test to work at Sheetz. To work at the gas station.
Did we take one for Kent?
I don't remember. I don't believe so.
No one works there. There's no way. Yeah, to take a drug test for Sheetz.
Yeah.
Everyone does drugs at Sheetz. I had to take a drug.
I think it's a requirement.
Yeah. You have to. It's a gas station.
We worked the overnight shift.
Yeah, everyone was doing fucking drugs.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was still in the throes of drinking. I went from having no caffeine for like 6 years to working the overnight shift at a gas station to like, okay, now I'm going to have four Red Bulls.
They call me the six cappuccino man. And now it's not even like illegal in the state.
No.
And they're still like, you have to do a drug test. Now it's like a morality thing. Fuck you.
I don't think. Yeah. I mean, I'm fairly certain now that it's legal. If you fail for weed, you still get the job. Like, I think they just now have to test because they test for everything. But yeah.
I don't know. But then he's like, we're going to have these people over. And they come in and they're like, oh, it's with my girlfriend. The one person I kind of tolerate. And they're like, hello, welcome to my home. And the mom comes down already drunk. And they sit down, and he's like, tell me about yourself. And he's like, I have this GPA. I've done these extracurriculars. I want to go to this college. I also did debate club. And it's like, oh my, shut the fuck up. I would turn, if I was an admissions officer, I'd say, tell me about yourself. And you just list, like, extracurricular activities. Well, I'm not going to think highly of you. But who are you? What type of person are you? You just tell me you're a huge fucking nerd that only cares about academic achievement. Which is not a good member of society make.
Sure, agreed.
They're not a single successful person. I'm going to go on record here. Prove me wrong. They're not a single successful person that has that attitude. There's not a single successful person in this world who's like, all I care about in college is academic. I did extracurricular activities and my GPA is so high. None of them got like big because you were so shallow and one dimensional a person at that point that you cannot achieve any level of success.
Ted Cruz, unfortunately.
He was the Zodiac Killer. Also, we like Butter Cow. Fuck off. Ted Cruz is multidimensional. He like Butter Cow. So the whole thing goes to shit because his brother comes out. She drank his piss or sat in his piss? She
drank his piss and then tipped his, and then he tipped it over.
Not his fault. Not if you drink someone's piss. I'm sorry.
How do you not know?
How do you not know? How do you not know? I know that everyone's a piss connoisseur like us. We love drinking piss. They call us the Golden Boys. But how do you not know? Like the smell alone.
It has like an ammonia smell.
If it's yellow. If it looks like Chardonnay wine.
Did they think it was Chardonnay wine in a fucking clear solo cup? So it goes to shit. The
wife starts his mom starts talking about how he's fucking everybody.
Yes.
And then he like manages to win them back a bit, but then his friends come over and he's like, I have important people here. Fuck off. And they're like, we're not important. He's like, well, no, you are, but not really, because all I care about is Stanford. Fuck off. I'm like, meh, meh. So they decided to leave. And then a bop crashes into the car. Has a great line where he's like, as long as I live, I'll never let you into Stanford. Watch your fingers. And he rolls up the window. And then because this guy is the worst kid alive, he goes in. And then everyone's like, oh, sorry, you know. And they're trying to do the best to be supportive. And he just walks out and falls face first into a pool in an attempt to drown himself. Because his precious GPA isn't recognized at Stanford. I must commit suicide. Well, guess what, buddy? You're going to hell. That's a sin in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
I fucking hate this kid. That was the moment that, like, my general hatred turned to a true unburning hatred. Oh, 1,000%.
That's the moment I, like, fully turned on him.
And again, is when it solidified my love of his brother. Because his brother's, like, on drugs. He's out of it. And as soon as he sees, because his His girlfriend goes, "Oh my God, Charney, okay?" And his brother immediately goes, "Oh, fuck, don't worry, buddy, I got you." And immediately dives in to rescue him and does it, like gets to him.
Yeah.
Immediately, the second his brother's in trouble, sobers up, jumps into action.
So, yes. And then they think, like, let's just go straight to the Dean of Admissions.
Yeah, because he's
at 2 in the morning.
His brother's 11. Throwing out his Stanford. Or not Stanford, his stoner ideas what to do. Because he's trying to help. He's a pirate ship. He's a good guy. And he's like, "Yo, we ought to just go there, beat them the fuck up, whatever." He's like, "We should go there and talk to them at 2 in the morning."
Yes.
And he's like, "Fuck." He's like, "You know what? I'll get us there in 3 hours. And sure, he's like driving badly and danger of life, but he's trying his fucking best. I have to stress that he has problems that need to be addressed in his personal life, but at every single instant, he is doing his best. Yes.
And has one of my favorite Jack Black moments when he's talking really fast and he's like, "Some little piggies go to college, some little piggies have none. This little piggy goes to the market. This little piggy's going wee, 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 out of the way to the bizneck, baby." Like, talking about.
And he's talking about how he wants to start a t-shirt business.
Yeah, where he's like.
And hats, t-shirts, hats.
T-shirts, hats. It has like "loser" written on it, or like "talk to the hand."
And like, I'm not sure if I'd buy a "talk to the hand" shirt. But I'd buy a shirt that just said "loser."
Dude, a loser shirt today,
if he was selling
would
it,
sell.
If I saw this guy selling shirts, which I generally try to avoid people selling shirts. Small business. Like, I was trying to get a haircut once, and there's this like setup of like a clothing company in downtown Kent.
Yeah.
And I had to like talk to him, like, "I don't have any cash, but I'll be back with cash." I took another way around because it wasn't my style of clothing. It was really generic. It's just kind of generic designs. I'm like, yeah. But if, like, this guy was selling a shirt that said "loser," I'd buy it from him. I saw a shirt that said "antagonist" the other day. It's sitting bookmarked. It says "antagonist." It's this clothing company called, we're going to do a free ad, I guess. I think it's called like "generic clothing company."
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
And their entire shtick is they just do shirts that say like "band,"
"oh, nice,"
"company,"
"sports,"
"hot political take." Like, that's fun. Like, maybe not for like your whole wardrobe, but a few shirts that just say like "antagonist" favorite movie. That's funny as shit. But yeah, so they get there. He almost crashed, but they get there and they go to talk, and the woman's like, "Go the fuck away. It's 2 in the morning. So give me the dean's number." And he's like, "No.
No.
No, I'm not gonna do that. This is the same conversation my mom has with my dying grandfather, where we're talking, and he comes up to her, she's eating and on the phone, and he's like, "Give me your number so I can call you if something bad happens." And she's like, "Go away, I'll talk to you later, I'm eating and I'm on the phone." And he's like, "No, give me your number in case something bad happens." She's like, "What? You're never alone. You lost your phone. How are you gonna call me?" He's like, "God damn it, just give me the number." And then he's like, "Give me Michael's number, which is my uncle."
Yeah.
I say, "I'm not giving you his number." And I'm like, "Give him the number. Give him the number." Because my uncle had he had a divorce, as he does. And as our whole family does. And then had to just kind of come back to Ohio for a bit. He was just staying there for a bit while he's like being settled back in. And they made his life living hell. I've been there, buddy. I know. Made life living hell. And so, like, he just, like, fuck him. He, like, never shows up. We have to persuade him to come to Thanksgiving just to see, like, me and his siblings. Because he does not want to be there for his parents. Yeah, he's like, "Why don't we give him his number?" I'm like, "Give him the number. Let him call him randomly. Please, mother, do this." And I'm like, "Just give him a random number. Pretend he's a guy at the bar. Just give him a random number, Mom." And then my mom's like, "Why don't we give him the number?" He's like, "It's not mine to give. And you treat him like shit." He's like, "What?" "So you treat him like shit. And he doesn't want to fucking talk to you anymore." And my mom's starting to get like aggressive in her old age because of her hate for Donald Trump's fueling her aggressiveness.
Sure.
And she was just like, and he's like, "Well, I don't remember this." She's like, "Well, you did it. I don't blame him." I'm like, "Yeah." As I'm stuck in traffic in West Virginia. Yeah. But yeah, so then they're like, "Oh, we can just check the directory and find it out." And his brother, always there for him, goes, "I'm going to MacGyver my way in and get you the number." And so he like falls in, knocks some stuff over, gets caught by the lady, and seduces her.
Which, absolutely, I would have fallen for both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them.
And the movie.
And the fact that they. Sorry, go ahead.
The movie does a good job of making it like an actual seduction and not like a creepy, like there's no way the woman would have gone for that. Because this director manages to do a task so many directors fail to do, which is show female arousal.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they end up fucking.
Where he's like, how about I get, do you want me to get naked and we plan the revolution?
Well, yeah, because he's like, what do you want? And then she's kind of like looking at him in the way you do when you're about to fuck somebody.
Sure.
And then she's like, why are you here? And then he says that. And then they fuck.
Yeah.
And then they go to like the fucking Dean's house and invade his personal privacy. But please, my GPA is so good.
Harold Ramis. Right?
I'm an honor student. Let me in. I'm so good. And he's like, well, yeah, I would have let you, but you passed the due date. So. And I have to go to wherever with my family. Ooh, I'm about to rip a fat sneeze. Leave this. Oh, it's gone. Fuck. That's good content. That was going to be a banger, dude. That's going to be a banger, and it's gone, and no one's ever going to hear it. And now our podcast is going to fail, because that sneeze was going to get us a Grammy.
But we earlier learned that Jack Black, I forget his name in this movie, but...
Lance,
you're right, yes. Lance keeps a bunch of different pills in a bunch of different places.
In a bunch of different bottles.
In, like, Advil, Aleve, Tylenol, like, and the different ones are different, like, he has everything categorized.
But some of them are, like, Tylenol, I think, yes. Which is the wild thing.
Yes, and so the girlfriend gives Harold
because he runs out to get his precious transcript, I bring you with me everywhere I go!
Which is fucking so weird. I understand they were literally going to the dean's office, but like that's weird. The girlfriend gives
I'm not sure if I was in high school in 2002, I could have pulled up my transcript and printed it on such short notice, which means he had a copy.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird. But yeah, he's like, oh, my head. She's like, do you want some Advil? He's like, yeah. He's like, take as much as you want.
Gives him like a quadruple dose of Molly.
I think we quickly cut back to the after effects of them fucking, where they're just chilling, high.
Yes, and he has the list of all of the incoming freshmen.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, they fucking denied him. Pieces of shit, dude. And
lights it on fire.
Yeah, good brother.
Throws it away and it catches the curtains on fire. Yeah. And then eventually the entire building.
I'm like, whoa, put it out, whoa.
Yes.
And then they come back and he's like, oh, why does your brother have so much Tylenol? And he's like, no, that's not Tylenol, that's drugs. That's the nasty, evil thing writers don't do. A writer has never smoked weed around a campfire or done drugs. What a piece of shit.
Yeah, they gave him ecstasy?
I think it's MDMS, which is ecstasy, right?
Yeah.
Real talk, I
Molly, right?
Yeah, Molly. Yeah. I don't do psychedelics.
Neither do I.
I'm never in a place where I feel safe enough to try it.
1,000%, and that's
because it's not like dangerous, but you need to be in a good place to do it.
Yeah.
I had a friend who did it once when we were in college, and he got so freaked out by my friend's shitty roommate. He's like, he's the devil, dude. He like ran off, and we were calling him, and we're like, buddy, where are you? Buddy, we're right. And he's like, oh no, dude, I'm fucking lost in the forest, dude. I don't fucking know. Like, oh shit, stay on the line. So we're running out trying to find him. We're like running out of like tri towers. We're running out and we're like, where are you, dude? He's like, oh no, dude. And we like hear him. And he's like in a bush outside the door. And he's like, well, you found me. Oh, thank God. He's great. I love that guy.
Nice.
But yeah, so then the guidance counselor's tripping. He's like, I love you, dude. We're the same height, dude. He's like, you're gonna help me get in? He's like, yeah, okay, I can help you get in. He's like, I have to go on vacation. Like, I'll drive you there. He's like, okay. And so they drive there. He gives him a big kiss on the way.
Yeah.
And they get there and the whole building's on fire.
And he starts freaking out. Like,
he's like, no,
why am I here?
My Stanford, yeah. And the guy's like, oh God, why am I here? And he's like, police and fire department.
Ben Stiller plays a fireman.
Which is the only scene I'd ever seen in this movie before. I don't know how I stumbled into it.
Yeah.
But I've seen that scene on YouTube.
And he asks Jack Black, like, yo, what happened? And Jack Black is given, first off, a terrible fake name of Joe Johnston.
Joe Johnston. Yeah.
And He's like, it was her fault, blah, blah, blah. And
she said it was electrical fire because she's a queen.
Yes. We stand. Truly don't snitch.
Yeah. Don't snitch. The one, if you're a hot admissions lady, twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. I need a double date to go with Ron Harrison with his Neve. We're going to go to an escape room together as a double date. But oh no, I don't have a woman to take. So throw in an email. I know all the boys are sending. No, this is before. The fucking filming schedule's fucked me up. The film boys aren't sliding into the DMs yet.
No, they're not.
I just want a lot of the DMs sliding to happen on this podcast.
Also, they wouldn't be sliding into our DMs.
They'd be sending emails that I would read.
I thought they would only be sliding into Jenna's.
Well, I want them to slide into my... if you're a hot admissions lady, slide into my DMs.
I thought you were talking about the film boys.
No, because I was saying we could have it all fronts.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Jack Black is on the run from the police.
Yeah, because he's like, we got a runner.
And he goes to Sean and is like, yo, I set the building on fire. And Sean's like, of course you did. You're a loser.
Well, this is later he says this. Because first, he meets the girl who invites him to a frat party.
No, is that?
Yeah, because
No, because that's after... No, that's after Jack Black. Because it's like, you're a loser, and then he starts wandering around.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was thinking of him. He hasn't started running from the police yet.
Yes. He has just started running.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, your idea will never sell your piece of shit loser, and walks off. And it's like, fuck you, dude. I would buy his loser shirt.
Me too.
If you're in fucking California, you can sell some gimmicky shirts.
Honestly, we should make a loser shirt.
We should. We should. But like, it's like, and he's like brutal. And it's like, yeah, why the fuck? He's done nothing but try to help you.
Absolutely. So he wanders around, he meets...
A woman reading a book author he likes.
Oh my god.
Falk.
McKenna Keener?
It starts with an F, Ryan. Is it
Falkstein? Oh, Faulkner is Faulkner. The author, but the actress...
I don't know who she is.
Is, I want to say McKenna Keener. She's the roommate in Undeclared.
Oh.
Which, yeah, Judd Apatow created and J.K. Jay Kasdan directed a bunch of episodes.
But yeah, she invites him to a party because she's like, are you going here? And he's like, nah, I'm just visiting. And they go to a party and he's trying to talk to her at this party about this book.
Yes.
Standing, which is why it's a mistake. That's the conversation you have halfway into the party when like you're sitting down at the couch, you're just relaxing. Like that's a couch conversation. Yeah. You have these conversations when you're sitting on the couch. But they're standing up. And she's like, I don't know, I'm probably just read the cliff notes. It's kind of boring. And then he meets her friends who seem nice. And then they like their song comes on, so they start dancing. He's like, everyone here's a vapid bimbo whore.
It's the third needle drop of Butterfly.
He's like, it's a vapid thing. He's like horrified that college people are partying at Stanford.
Well, yeah, because it's Stanford, you see. It's an Ivy League. In Ivy League, people don't party.
Don't party ever. But then they're just having fun. They seem like fun people. And then he goes and he sees that his girlfriend's talking to a guy who's talking to her about books and writing.
And wanting to make a TV show about vampires that's also about
the reunification of Germany.
The reunification of Germany.
Honestly, I would watch the fuck out of a vampire movie about the collapse of the Berlin Wall.
And Sean is listening from the roof and falls onto
and then she's like, are you spying? No. Are you spying? Yeah, I'm spying. And then he's like, buh, 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 buh. I kind of tuned him out at this point. And she's like, all right, come on, Chad, whatever the fuck his name was. We're going back to the party. He's like, no, Ashley.
And so he's like wandering. He meets Marcus Skinner,
he recognized this guy on sight. Yeah. Back of the head. And he's like, I love your book. I love your book.
I'm obsessed with you,
not in a sexual way. He's like, I sent you a letter. He's like, oh, yeah, I read your story. It was good. He's like, and he's the one moment where I can like, sympathize with this girl. He's like, I had a long day. Can you say that one more time? He's like, yeah, your story's great. And he gives him a hug. And then they start talking. And for the first time in his life, he's in a room with someone who he respects.
Yes.
And he says, I mean, I don't understand. Can't stand under you. And he's like, I mean, you don't gotta, like, go to Stanford to be a good writer. I mean, you are a good writer. You don't got to. Every great writer is like from based on where they're from. Because to be a good writer, you have to base it on. You have to live life to be a writer. You have to experience things.
No, you just have to write. You don't have to live life, Matthew. You just have to write.
Truly, it's just film school all over again. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, yeah, your characters are flawed, but you can tell that they love each other. And it's clearly he just wrote about his life.
Yeah.
Lazy writer. It's like your first thing. Write an original story. At least don't do a direct one-to-one comparison and stuff. And he was like, yeah, so, you know, you can just be a good writer.
You need an ending.
He says you need an ending. He's writing it in Stanford. He's like, well, that's fine. You don't need to. Just be a good writer.
Yeah, and with that little confidence boost, he leaves the office. He finds Jack Black hiding from
the police.
He's like,
we need to go. And he falls down a hill, and he's like, okay. He's like, go get Ashley without me.
I related to Jack Black
so much in that moment. That truly was the moment you fell down a ditch outside your apartment, and I made someone go pull you up out of it, because I wasn't going to.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I could have.
Yeah.
I was at my lightest. I was like 130 pounds.
I was semi-light then.
Yeah, you weren't.
I was like 240.
You weren't terrible, but you were at least a normal-sized man.
Yeah.
You fell down a ditch. I could not get you up.
No, I gotcha. They get the car, and they're picking up Ashley.
Because he's like, come back from me. He's like, yeah. He's like, promise you. Okay. And he goes and asks. He's like, no, fuck you. Fuck you. He's like, in the car. We can talk about it here. And once again... brother comes in clutch.
Yes.
He is a good older brother.
Yes, he is.
He's everything an older brother should. He's like, tell her you're sorry. He's like, I'm sorry. He's like, no, like, you fucking mean it.
Tell her you love her. Like,
yeah, and then he says, I'm sorry. And then he's like, tell her that you fucking love her. He's being a good... And so then they drive back, and they start making out. He's like, oh, my brother will hear. He's like, no, he's always asleep. And he goes, right, hey, blah, blah, blah. And he doesn't wake up. He goes, okay. But he is awake. And he's just staying like that so that they can get back together because he's a good brother.
Yes. So it's the next. While all this is happening, the dad and mom are getting back
together. Yeah, we missed my favorite sub thing, which is that the dad shows up there because.
He wants her back. Like, that was the entire.
Well, I think he shows up originally to talk about the son.
Yes, that was such a thin line, but yes.
And they're talking and stuff, and they get a beer, and he says that she's, like, fucking someone else, and that he really fucked up, so she gets another beer, and she's fixing her hair, and they talk, it's like, hey, we're both unhappy, like, sometimes when I'm driving home, I end up here, it's out of my way, I'm sorry, can we do a do-over? And they're both like, yeah, we can do a do-over, and they have furious makeup sex.
Yeah.
And then the wife shows up. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing here? He's like, I'm going back with her. You can have that house.
We'll split custody of the kid. Like,
and she's like, yeah, cool, that works.
He's like, yeah, that's... I think it's the only time in that relationship they've ever agreed on anything.
And then she speeds off happy, and he takes his other kid in. And then... So he, like, comes home to this.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck's going
on? Why is my six-year-old half-brother here? The six-year-old half-brother who's obsessed with the Binky, and Catherine O'Hara now is like, no, like, fucking, no. Like, you're six.
Because she's a good mother, by what the kid says. And then he's like, we got Dean to Stanford.
Yes.
And we have the big character moment where he's on the phone. He's like, hang on, my kids just walk in. I'll call you back. Hangs up.
He's like, I made a big donation for a new admissions building because the old one burned
apparently
down.
Burned down.
Yes.
Which means, I imagine, the phone call went, hey, I'd like to make a donation. And he goes, I mean, our missions building just burned down. What does he do? He's like, retail? Does he ever say what?
The dad?
Yeah.
He just owns a business.
Generic business.
Yeah.
Okay. Which he also says he wants a son. And he's like, I don't want to be a business. I want to be a writer. You can do both. You need to do both. Every writer has a job. Very few writers don't have a job.
Or have never had jobs.
Yeah, and he mentioned, never had jobs. And he mentioned it too, where he's like, he names three, he's like, the three in the whole literary. Yeah, there's very few writers who can live solely off their writing. I think it is just the three he named. Mostly they have jobs as like English teachers or professors, or they teach writing in their spare time.
Yeah.
Their life's writing, but you're not just living off books.
Sure.
But he's like, then he goes, oh, thank God, and everyone's happy for him. He goes up and he He thinks a bit. Wow, he's a big piece of shit. He's a big stupid idiot who's full of dumb shit for brains. And it comes down. He's like, actually, I'll be staying in Orange County.
Which everyone is so excited, except for they don't show the dad's reaction. Because I can only imagine the dad is pissed. But everyone else is so excited, so he's not going to say anything. But you can tell he's thinking you couldn't have had this revelation 2 hours ago.
Yeah. I mean, he can get his name on a building.
Yeah.
Cool. Can you
call and stop a donation?
Yeah, you can. You can talk to the bank. It'd look really bad on you, but... and then they're like, yeah. They realize that their parents... Because his son, Lance goes, are you mom banging?
You banged mom?
Banged mom? And everyone's happy. The family's back together again. He gets to stay with his girlfriend. And then the movie ends with him writing a letter to the writer. He's back surfing.
Yes.
He's back living a life, and he buries the book he found. Because I forgot to mention, I don't think we mentioned it. He finds the book buried in the sand.
Yes.
And he buries it so someone else can find it.
Yes. And they were going to have this big memorial for the 1 year anniversary.
Where they blow up his friends.
Yes.
And he's like, nah, bro, I'm going to surf.
I'm going to steal his board and surf on it. I'm going to surf on the board that killed my friends.
It's a good memorial.
And credits roll, they finish out the one song they're playing, and then Phantom Planet's California starts playing.
Yeah, great.
Which, fun fact, do you know who the drummer of Phantom Planet is? One point was Jason Schwartzman. Was the drummer for Phantom Planet.
What?
Yeah.
That's wild.
I want to say he's the drummer on that album. Do you want to do socials?
I do. I want to talk about our upcoming event because I think I got the timing right this time.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
All right. Put in some lightning effect. Can you put in lightning effects here?
I'll try.
Maybe like some Halloween music, maybe. Woo! I want to watch your movie. We're doing it, baby. That's right. Six confirmed listeners as far as I can count, but we're doing an event. We're doing an event because we're high on our horse. We had a YouTube comment. We're doing Guest-tober 2024. Thanks for the thumbs up. I was going to get it. Each week, we're going to have on a guest that you've never heard of. Don't worry, they're not famous. Don't get starstruck or shy. And we're going to watch a spooky movie. And then at the end of the month, we're going to watch Trick or Treat because I want to watch Trick or Treat.
Because you've been pushing Trick or Treat.
I watched it in March and thought it was October. It is the Halloween movie. And anyone who disagrees with me, I will fucking kill you.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to
it. We'll also have a movie we filmed earlier that got episode that got filmed earlier that got pushed forward due to scheduling reasons. It has a guest, so I guess it qualifies.
And it's technically it's a horror comedy. It counts.
We had a bit of a disagreement about this, folks. But that's okay. Not all marriages are perfect. None are. You have your disagreements, just like we learned with Catherine and John.
So, yeah, it's going to be 3 weeks of guests, and then we're going to end on Trick or Treat. I'm very excited. I actually really like the guests we have lined up. scheduling has been a nightmare. So
yeah.
We're actually...
Not on my end.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that the people that I've been scheduling work like three jobs. They don't have time to...
One of my guests was a Twitch streamer.
Yeah. Okay.
Bigger than Amaranth.
It'll be real exciting.
And after that, we're going to do one that was recommended to us.
Oh, we're going to start November with?
Yeah, we're going to start. I'm not going to make him wait too long. Okay, I don't have the...
A Serious Man.
A Serious Man.
We're
going to
start November with the Coen Brothers, A Serious Man.
By...
D.W. Cali.
Yeah, shouts out to you, my boy or girl. Or other.
Thank you.
We'll be
a person.
A person. Could be an AI.
Could be.
But we will be watching your movie in November. Until then, if you want to follow us on Instagram, Mostly show updates. We'll get some pictures up there eventually. It's Two Men Movie Podcast on Instagram. If you want to email us, you know, to go on a hot date with me and also with Harrison and Geneva. You're not dating them. They're just along for the ride. Or if you, you know, just want to reach out to us, tell us movies you want us to watch, fan art. Do I mean Harrison kissing? That'd be cool. TwoMenMoviePodcast@gmail.com. If you want to find me, also on YouTube, Two Men Movie Podcast.
Two Men
and a Movie.
And then Instagram is Two Men Movie Podcast?
Two Men Movie Podcast. Okay. I think that might be the URL for it too, but you can maybe search it. We just have the videos up. It's audio. There's no videos. We'll eventually get to putting videos up there when we get rolling a bit more. If you want to find me on Instagram, I did put some new posts up.
I saw that.
I've linked my Instagram, so I put up some vacation photos if you want to look into my personal life for some reason. Creep. Midwest_magician. You can also just DM me. I'll probably respond to any inane things you send me.
You can find me at harrisonpoole.com. That's P-O-O-L-E D-O-T.com. I recently learned some coworkers asked me to, and I gave them the handle, and they put period instead of spelling out the word dot. So apparently it's more confusing than I thought it was.
Yeah.
I changed it specifically to be less confusing. But that's harrisonpoole.com. Everything is spelled out one word. Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening.
Tell your friends, tell your family.
Absolutely, please.
Like us. Leave a review. Leave a review if you want. That helps us out on Spotify.
When we get a certain level of listenership, we're talking Patreon. We'll put together a Patreon. I really want to quit my day job. Anyways, thank you so much for listening.
I love you.
I appreciate you very much.
I love you.
I'm not going to do the parasocial thing, but I appreciate you.
I love you. I am your personal friend. You can tell people if anyone ever says, hey, you need to make some more friends, tell them Matthew Olenchek's your friend.
All right. I love you, Matthew.
I love you too, Harrison. Kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.